You're listening to Rhema for Today. Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, Recognizing Roadblocks to Healing, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
So you see, here's the way I looked at it. If he took our infirmity, that's yours and mine, then I can read this like this. I can say he took my infirmities. He bare my sicknesses. See, that brings it right down to home. Amen. I don't have to bear my sicknesses anymore. He bore them that I might be free. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Well, yeah, but how come I've still got them? Because you're still claiming them. He bore your sicknesses, mine, but instead of me claiming and saying he bore them, I'm free. I'm saying I still got them. I still got them. I'm still sick. I still have them. And as long as I hold on to them, I'm going to keep them.
Amen.
Thank God I'm going to turn loose of them. In fact, I have. I'm sort of like the story I read after World War II. I got a real blessing out of it. There's a little woman there in London, England, during World War II. I read this in the paper. It's a true story. And yet I paraphrased it to fit healing. You know, the German planes would come over and drop their devastating bombs upon the city. Air raid sirens would sound. People would make their way to the air raid shelters to be safe. Every night the planes were coming. Well, one night, the neighbors noticed that this little old lady wasn't with them. Somebody wondered, well, where was she? In the daytime, they was all busy. They didn't contact one another. They was busy cleaning up after, you know, bombs had fallen and so on. And so the second night, she wasn't there. And the third night, she wasn't with them. Some of them asked, anybody seen Mrs. So-and-so? Nobody had seen her. Because they was all busy in the daytime cleaning up, you know, after the bombs had fallen. And they said, well, do you suppose she got killed? And we didn't know about it. Some of them thought maybe that she went away to the country to escape the bombs. You know, no use dropping bombs out there in the country. Do very little damage. They drop them on the cities. But the fourth day, somebody met her on the street. Said, oh, we're glad to see you back. Well, she said, I haven't been anywhere. What do you mean glad to see me back? I haven't been anywhere. What, it said the last three nights? When the air raid siren sounds and the bombs come over, the planes come over and the bombs are falling, you haven't been going to the air raid shelter because we're there and you're not there. What do you do? Oh, she said, I just stay home in bed and sleep. Well, they said, aren't you afraid? No, she said, I was reading in the Bible the other day about God that he neither slumbers nor sleeps, and I decided wasn't in need of he and I both staying awake. Hallelujah. Well, I read in the Bible that himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. I decided it wasn't in need of he and I both doing it. And I've been free ever since then. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. When I discovered that Christ himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses, I decided there wasn't any need of both of us to bear them. No need. He did it that I might be free. Therefore, why pray if it be thy will? The Bible states that it is his will. Hallelujah. Now, most people who do not believe in divine healing or who are opponents of divine healing, stay away from this scripture here, Matthew 8:17. See, they always say, yeah, but now you remember this. Paul told Timothy to drink a little wine for his stomach's sake and often infirmities. Well, that don't do away with this scripture. I said, that doesn't do away with this scripture, does it?
No.
Amen. Amen. I might say to someone, I do sometimes. Actually, when the kids was little, you know, they're out playing, skint their knee. I said, well, just put a little methylate on that. Wasn't anything wrong with that. Wash it with soap and water. Clean it up. You leave it dirty, you know. Well, are you listening?
Amen.
And if you've ever been over there where Timothy was, I've been there. You'll understand why he told. Do you notice? See, they don't quote all that verse. They just said Paul told Timothy to drink a little wine for his stomach's sake, his often infirmities. Now notice what he said. Read the whole verse. He told him, first of all, no longer drink water. Now, where he was, if you go there today in some of those places, they'll tell you, don't drink the water. Don't drink the water. It's bad. And you can understand why they would drink a little wine. It would, just like there in Rome, when I was in Rome, 1969. And I preached that in one of the Pentecostal churches. All the Pentecostal people would drink wine with their meal, just like we do tea or coffee. But like the missionary said to me, he said, actually, the wine that they're drinking is cheaper than water. You buy it cheaper than you can water. And it has very little alcohol content. Actually, he said, you'd have to drink a barrel of it to affect you. Well, nobody's going to drink a barrel of wine at one sitting. That's a sin. And like this missionary said to me, it's a good thing they drink it, really. He said, it'll probably have just enough alcohol contents to kill the bugs in their stomach. See, we've got different customs, and we need to realize that. It's not a matter. The Bible speaks against drunkenness and all of that. But I remember one fellow came here in the United States. I knew him myself. Religious leader, and he was meeting over there with some of them, you know. And they set him right up, you know, next to the head one at the table. And this person's the most prominent person in Pentecostalism in their country. And he said, you know, here, well, we're teetotalers, and they had a little glass of wine at the table. And all of them drank it, and he said, well, I didn't, you know, I thought, well, I don't know what I'm going to do, but the member of the scripture said, you know, just eat whatever's set before. So I said, I sipped a little bit on it. And he said, this lady who was sitting at the head of the table whispered me, said, they tell me some of the saints in America drink coffee. She thought that was awful. He said, I swallowed because I was a coffee drink. Said, yeah, dear sister, I'm sorry to tell you some of them do. Well, I see that wouldn't have bothered me because I don't drink coffee or wine either. Now, if they'd said something about tea, they might have got me. Well, you can fight small wars over these things that are unimportant, see. But you see, Timothy's wine and his stomach disorder, whatever it was, caused by the bad water, evidently, because water's mentioned there, doesn't got a thing in the world to do with Matthew 8:17. Matthew 8:17, still there.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, like I said, most folks will stay off of this verse. Matthew 8:17, himself took our infirmity to bear our sicknesses. But once in a while, some brave soul will sometimes come up with what he thinks is the answer to this scripture once and for all. I remember one person said that this scripture meant that Christ took the sicknesses of the people who lived in that time, but it doesn't apply to us today. Now, he did take their sicknesses. He bore their sicknesses, but not ours. And I thought to myself, and I read that, well, according to his argument, then he only bore those people's sins. He didn't bear ours. See, well, that kind of thinking wouldn't hold water. Matthew wrote his whole gospel after Jesus died. If healing had applied to those living in Jesus' time only, Matthew would have written, himself took their infirmities and bare their sicknesses.
Amen.
Huh? But he wrote, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses because it's ours. Hallelujah. Can you say it out loud? It's ours.
It's ours.
Say it again.
It's ours.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But he didn't write it himself, took their infirmities and bare their sickness. He wrote it himself, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Then someone else presented the theory. And you remember what a theory is? Anybody here remember what a theory is? Some of you students have been coming, maybe I gave you. You didn't hear my definition of a theory. You won't find the definition in a dictionary, but you write this down, it'll help you. A theory is a supposition established upon ignorance of the subject under discussion. Amen. Amen. A theory is a supposition established upon ignorance of the subject under discussion. I'll say it again for the benefit of some of you. Right, a theory is a supposition established upon ignorance of the subject under discussion. So you understand what I mean when I use the word theory then. So someone else presented the theory that this scripture, rather than referring to the past, see, he himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses back there then. And what he did then belongs to us now. That is future. They said this scripture will come to pass during the millennium. That in the millennium, because he took our infirmities and bare sickness, that we won't be sick then. Well, if that were true, however, that means future during the millennium, there wouldn't be any need for healing then for we who are Christians, because the curse would be lifted.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. This month, we're offering Kenneth E. Hagin's CD entitled, How to Activate God's Power. We're also offering Kenneth W. Hagin's Slimline book, The Master Restorer, God Will Do It Again. Also in this offer is Reverend Lynette Hagin's CD, You Can Have Success. And lastly, Craig Hagin's CD entitled, Have Faith in God. All these items at the special price of $25. Call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. Again, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
If you're interested in going to Rhema Bible College, you can go right now to rbtc.org/apply. Yes. You can apply for the fall enrollment of September the 3rd, I think, when it starts, 2024. Mm-hmm. Or you can also apply for the spring, January of 2025. Just go there. All the information is there for you.
Monday, Kenneth E. Hagin will continue this powerful teaching. That's next week on Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. Have a great weekend.